lead us in prayer, I guess. Start us off.
Lord, we just pray for the message, God. Pray that it would sink, that everything that we receive today would be applied and remembered. The enemy likes to make us forget sometimes. Just pray to remember today, God, with our mind, what you're speaking through our mind. It's you speaking.
So today, I was praying about what to speak on, and going over just a passage in Matthew 24, days of Noah and a faithful, wise servant. It's not going to be super detailed. I'm really going to be focusing on the part where Jesus says, "Will you be found doing?" That's really the part I'm going to be focusing upon. And then contrasting that from activity, just kind of like going around doing everything, and addressing just different things, the current state of the church and stuff. So for context, I'm going to read Matthew 24, 36 through 44, just for the sake of context and pulling just some things from there. "But for that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the days that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming an hour you do not expect." So after the parable of the fig tree earlier in this chapter, really Jesus is talking about the whole issue of the signs of the time. You know, the issue of where the different signs are going to be coming, you know, for his coming. And then here he's talking about, as in the days of Noah, the world's just going to be going about its business, you know, going about its normal things, and then the flood comes. You know? So this aspect of them being spiritually unprepared. Verse 42, you have the coming of the Son of Man. And then the Lord is saying to watch. In watching, in contrast, you know, to watch the signs of what's going on around us, and in contrasting that from like sleep. So it's a spiritual watchfulness that's going on. In sleep, in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, it has this aspect of just not knowing what's going on around them. The people in the days of Noah in the world, they're just kind of going about their business in a sense, spiritually asleep. "For we do not know the hour." We may know the signs, we may know the different things around us, but we do not know the actual hour. Verse 44, Jesus is coming at a time when you do not think. And really the question comes up, and then is how we'll be ready for when he comes and when he's here. And you have this whole aspect, too. I was kind of thinking about, you know, just, you know, every generation, you know, has this aspect. And you guys know this. You guys have been around the church for a long time. Has this aspect of people, you know, prophesying about, you know, the return of Christ, you know. Like, oh, he's going to return at this particular date. He's gonna come at this particular time. They'll say he's coming, right, like, tomorrow. Or they'll have some weird calculation through like some Bible numerology, and whenever they calculate it, he always is coming. Oh, he's coming in like a month, or he's coming in a couple days, and the cycle is always the same. You have these people who are making these prophecies, and a lot of times the Christians, you know, they sell their possessions. You know, they a lot of times give their profits to the person who's making the prophecy, and then, when inevitably what happens is when They sometimes also exclude themselves from society and kind of just kind of back away, saying, oh, I'm being ready by just, you know, hiding away in a hole. And what happens is that they wait. And what happens is a lot of times those false prophecies, they don't come to pass, you know. When clearly the Lord said, you don't know the hour when I'm coming, you know. And of course, this year, we've seen a little bit of that this year. I don't know if we necessarily had a lot of people making prophecies that Christ is going to return this year. But still, the very principle of a lot of people having this kind of like, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen.
It was apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic. Yeah, a lot of apocalyptic. Not quite, you know, Christ returning, you know. But still, people, a lot of, you know, believers were going through the same kind of thing. You know, just, you know, selling their possessions, giving their profits to whoever it is that's making the prophecy, and also excluding themselves, you know, away, you know, in a hole somewhere. You know, and some people I've actually heard actually sold their homes, actually, in response to what's going on this year.
No doubt.
And the one thing that was, you know, really striking me is that as Christians, what is our response to the things going on around us? Even again, apocalyptic stuff, not like kind of disaster stuff going on this year. Is our response to be walking in fear or and making these physical preparations? Because a lot of that is making physical preparations, you know. Like, oh, I'm going to sell my stuff and I'm going to hunker down. And therefore, that's me being ready. And let's continue. Is that actually, and I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, is that actually the true way that Jesus wants us to be ready? by being, you know, like hunkering down? Well, we'll get to the answer right now, you know. Matthew 24:45, continuing here. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, so this aspect of laziness and even spiritual unawareness there too, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, in an hour that he is not aware, and will cut him into two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there is a focus with this on people who are ministry. Because verse 45 says, master who made him ruler over his household. But I do believe the principle can apply to believers in general. Just the aspect of being wise and being wise with the time you have here. So how you prepare for anything, really. How you prepare for the Lord coming, and even coming in moments in our lives, is that you don't prepare by hunkering down and walking around in fear and preparing in physical means. You prepare by being found doing, by doing what the Lord asks you to do. Like, will you be, when the Lord even comes to your life, not even necessarily even talking about this, you know, the complete end, the second coming, will you be found doing? Whether he's coming tomorrow, you know, today, 1,000 years from now, that's how you're ready. Not by hoarding, not by hoarding a lot of stuff, not by hiding away, not by hunkering down, and not by also this aspect of neglecting your God-given tasks and saying that I'm waiting. I'm hoping that makes sense, you know, because a lot of times they say, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. A person is saying, I'm waiting on what the Lord is telling me what to do. And actually, Jesus, he already gave that particular person their tasks, but they're neglecting it, but they're masquerading it as saying that, oh, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. You know, they've already been given their task of what to do, you know. And what I'm speaking on, too, is not necessarily, it's not it's not activity. I mean, most of you guys know here that I'm not talking at all about just mindless activity, running around just doing anything. There are particular things, obviously, that are Christian that we could be doing. But what I'm asking about is, will you be found doing, is what are specifically the things that the Lord has individually spoken to us, you know, that we're supposed to be doing. Not just doing anything, running around to events or you know, evangelism kind of, you know, sessions or things like that. A lot of us, if not all of us in here, I believe, even in Christians in general, in the general, you know, out there in the body, the Lord has spoken to them as what they're supposed to do, you know. Was it say, my sheep know my voice. So the Christian with the Spirit of God in them, they can hear God's voice, and the Lord speaks to them, and they know what to do. I think it's more so not a matter of, Lord, what am I supposed to do, as much as, are we actually doing it, you know? Even if that thing is the, hey, like, the Lord's asking you to seek me out, seek him out more, that's doing. That's actually doing something. If the Lord is saying, hey, I need you to get on your knees, pray, and get more of a clearer sense of a particular thing in your life, well, that's like doing. You know, that's not doing nothing. That's actually something. In addition to the Lord asking us for, we have to, again, hone in on what it is the Lord is asking us to do, yep. Not on alternate tasks. I kind of touched upon that a couple, like, men's meetings ago, where a lot of times we create alternate stewardships that aren't actually what the stewardships that the Lord gave us, you know, and we create them or whatever. We can't make our own stewardships. There's particular things that the Lord desires us to do. Verse 49 here, and I've been going through a lot of parables and stuff, even in the men's meetings. But even note about this parable too. Going through this, the evil servant. I do want to touch upon this because it's so interesting. He claims the name of Christ, but the evil servant is actually not of Christ. So you see all through these parables, you have these signs and these different things that show, like, these people who claim Christ, but there is something deadly wrong in their walk. And with the evil servant in particular, notice how the evil servant, he's actually, like, he's beating his fellow servant. And he, so it means he's actually hostile to the faithful Christians that are around him. He actually has a hostility towards them. So there's that aspect of that. And also, too, the evil servant, even though he names the name of Christ, he's eating and drinking with drunkards. So he's not going to these drunkards to minister unto him, unto them, and to be like, hey, you know, you need to know Christ. There's this kind of integration with the sinners, and he's actually practicing what they're practicing. He's not like telling them to repent and turn from their sins. Don't be surprised, too, once you get a hold of your God-given task that's particular for you and the particular area, that you will have other servants, to quote-unquote so-called servants, evil servants, rising up to attack you and try to stop what you're doing. Because that will happen. You'll be a faithful servant actually going about doing what you're supposed to do, and you'll have an evil servant once you get about doing what the Lord has called you to do, and rise up and try and, like, be hostile towards you to try to hinder, you know. Notice too with verse 50, how the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, in an hour when he is not aware. So again, it's that constant need to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. It's not something where it's like, oh, I'm at this point just going to be doing whatever, and then I'm going to do what the Lord calls me to do now. It's like it's a 24/7 doing what the Lord calls us to do. Verse 50, Oh, no, again, I already talked about that. It's verse 50. And that was pretty much, that's literally it. As I'm coming to an end here, what I felt the Lord was leading on my heart here. Again, the Lord, He visits us even beyond, you know, His second coming to see if we're doing what we're doing. There's moments in our lives where He visits us in our lives to see if we're going about His business. So we have to be ready for those moments when he speaks to us and says, "Hey, are you doing my tasks, not your own tasks?" And even going about too, there was a couple Sundays ago, and I think I'm free to share this here, where I was having lunch with, you know, the guys and stuff, and Pastor Mike, you asked me a question of what is it? Do you have like a sense? I don't know if you remember. He asked me a question of like, do you have a sense of just certain things or whatever? And I had a sense of like, well, you know, like coming up even when the season changes, you know, of like of evangelism. But I do want to put a disclaimer on that, because a lot of times I think we think evangelism, like, you know, going to do this thing, you know. But I had a very particular sense of that. It's not evangelism in the sense of like, you know, going out in the street. That may be part of it, but I had a sense that we're going to be running into different people in our everyday lives, and we have to be ready for those things. And it's going to be to the point where I think it's going to be noticeable, to where it's going to be like the Lord is going to be putting these divine appointments in front of us as we're going to the gas station, as we're going to the bookstore, or as we're going about our lives.
Cell phone store.
The cell phone store, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, marketplace, exactly.
Yeah, and that, you know, that we're gonna, and it's gonna be to the point where it's gonna be like a perfect fit, you know. Let's say like you, Josh, I'm gonna use you as an example. You know, you're into art, so you'll run into someone that's gonna be, oh, you know, I'm into art, you know, that kind of thing, where the Lord's gonna set up these things, and it's gonna be like a perfect fit, you know, to where you're gonna be ministering to them, and it's gonna be something like that. And it's going to be continuous, too. So I just want to say, you know, yeah, just be ready for those encounters. And even though I'm saying this, it doesn't necessarily mean you can have those things come but not be ready. You know, and we could just completely pass them up. So just be aware of just the spiritual surroundings. Be ready for those spiritual, those things around us, you know, in the spirit. I hope that came out clear.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't all over the place with that. So yeah, any thoughts, any questions, feel free, guys, to add on to what.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, you're right on the money. I think at the point of the message, it's interesting. The parable of the message isn't necessarily about Jesus returning, but rather just occupying with. That's interesting. I have a lot of memories of my parents stepping out of town, short trips, 2-3 days, you know, vacation. The only time that their return date was important to me was when I was doing illegal things with drugs. That's it. I could have cared less when they were coming. Well, let me rephrase it. They're my family, of course, but the focus on what day they would be back and the space that they would be gone was always due to what I could do in their absence, I could never do in their presence. And like you said, the good and the faithful servant, he doesn't live with an eye on when he's returning. He occupies till he comes. There is no, the focus, that's why in the end of Revelation, remember when he says that, let him who's, you know, filthy still be filthy, let him who is righteous still be righteous, meaning any kind of eschatological motivation will always fall flat, you know. And even the person that goes, my master won't be here for a long time, it's deeper than just the return. He doesn't see God working at all, meaning he doesn't, in the interim, he's absent the factor of master, meaning he lives his life like there's such a thing. And with God being present all the time, it's a, you know what I mean? But I was praying last night, I was saying about the five wise virgins. They're all virgins. They're all actually virgins. They're pure.
Right.
So you get this aspect of of hiding the talent of your Christianity in the ground, not necessarily doing a whole lot wrong, just maintaining. And yeah, it's good. But I wonder, because it says it's his fellow servants. So that evil slave, he's a part of his fellow servants. So the aspect of people starting as believers, the aspect of somebody being in the church and suddenly they become the evil slave, you know.
Right.
Is it defined? It's defined on their stances, you know. I thought about that, but his assumption is my master won't be back, not even for a long time, but my master's not around.
Right.
So it's the whole, like, you know, the cat's away, the mice will play. But yeah, no, I think he is it interesting. It says it'll cut him in pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites,
mm-hmm.
which is one person that has a mask, answers from under a mask. Yeah, occupying till he comes. Well, that's why I've had people call me with all the stuff and all the YouTube stuff. You know, I've been asked this multiple times, and what should I do? Should I buy this? Should I sell that? I said, you should get a sense from the Lord for yourself of what you think you're supposed to do. And I did say out front, I don't think you should do anything. We're occupying. You know, I used to keep a book in my drawer, and it got thrown away, but I kept it all the way through the 90s, and we moved a couple times and lost it on the last move to Sullivan Lane, but it was 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1988. There was a group that did this, like you said, they people sold their homes, you know what I mean? They lived their life for the apocalypse, and it's so... Like you said, it's the wrong mindset, period. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how close you think he is. We occupy. And they sold their homes. And there was another guy, Harold Campy. Do you remember him?
I remember, yeah.
Harold was another guy that made a lot of money off, End Times.
And the one thing, too, is that, like I was trying to say, was that every generation has that. Like, almost every generation has a...
Oh, yeah.
But the key is that, really, we're supposed to be living like he's coming tomorrow. Right. Anyway, you know, so it's like whether or not you have someone come and say, you know, some prophecy or whatever, like, good times, bad times, we're supposed to be living like he's coming, like whatever, you know, whenever, you know.
It's an interesting balance, isn't it? It's like, in one way, we don't live for eschatology.
Right.
And yet... The eschatological reality that Jesus, well, we'll go to him or he'll come to us.
Right, exactly. That's
there's
what I was going to
there. It's an interesting, almost would seem like they conflict with each other, but there's a balance there that's amazing. Yeah, you're right. You know, I've seen pastors fall, ministers fall. I've seen a lot in the ears. In fact, one time I went to the Lord and asked him, why did I have to see a lot of what I saw? It wasn't that it was disheartening to me, it's just a bummer. I've seen a lot of corruption. And one trait all the ministers shared, all of them, every one of them that I talked to that went down, and it was mostly women, and sometimes it was career, but mostly women. Everyone, as they were starting to veer down, they all said one thing that was, it was a thread between all of them. They didn't really see God moving or involved in much in their life. Their mindset, and it's like a deception and a delusion. They felt like they were spinning their wheels. They felt like somehow the Lord, you know, he was there but not for them, or nothing much was going on from the heavens. And they literally got this, master's not kind of, you know, because really the master's supposed to be, he's present with us in this room today.
Right, exactly.
And every one of them said that same thing. They got this weird bent within, they start heading down and you know what I mean? It's like, this ministry, I've seen them use words like, I just had this puny ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I had this, so every time, dude, the statement was the same out of 10 different guys. Now, I wasn't connected to all the guys in ministry, but I was knew them in different ministries where they were at, and I heard the same comment. God wasn't active, God wasn't here, they were just coasting. All of them had the same thing as they were going down. The Lord wasn't returning, but he also was not present with them in their eyes. And it's interesting, though, because they would fall and destroy great deals as they fell. Their eyes were always open after the fact. They could see it real clear on the other side of the corruption. But going into it, there was a weird lull. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's a really silly thing. God's involved in all, through all, and to all. So the presence of the Lord, I believe, also battles this, the dwelling presence of God in our lives. It's kind of like the Christmas season, where you're talking about where the divine comes into the physical realm and intrudes. It's a powerful thing. It actually goes along with this, believe it or not, even though Christmas isn't eschatological. Well, it is. Because when he does come, you know immediately he will come again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, but yeah, it's a good point, bro. Good point. Diligent, watchful.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting, though? Not watchful for, it's weird, not totally watchful just for his return, but for his abiding presence and our task. Like you said, what's your task? What's your task? What are you called to do? What are you called to do? Not somebody else's call. Interesting. Yeah, that's good, Armand.
I could definitely end us in prayer. End us in prayer. So, Father God, we just lift up today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, we do pray, Lord, even as Pastor Mike was saying, it's definitely a point I was thinking about making, Lord, that you're here present in the room with us, Lord. Are we aware of that, Lord? Are we aware that the Master's here, Lord, that you're here giving us tasks even now, Lord? Lord, help us to seek you out, Lord, that intimacy time with you, Lord, even that personal intimacy time, Lord, even during this winter season, Lord, to really just set aside that time to speak to you, Lord, and to hear from you, Lord. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to the people around us. Help us to be sensitive to the spiritual realm, Lord.
Yes.
So I just pray for that, Lord. I lift that up to you, Father God. I thank you for the guys here. Lord, I just pray safety for everyone going back home. And Lord, we just lift you up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, guys. That's good, bro. It's really good. It's really good.